Yep, so let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and get started here. So, it says the priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi, so the priests are a separate class in the Levitical priesthood. Levites were there to be servants to the priests and servants of the temples and all of that. But they all came from the tribe of Levi. And it says that they shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel, so they couldn't come in and take a portion of the land. There wasn't a portion of the land set aside for the tribe of Levi. They had their inheritance in the Lord. They could own property. They could own possessions inside the cities that the Lord would send them to, but they were to be spread about all of Israel to minister to the people. God always faithful to take care of his people, his remnant. In all the places that he would have them, there would be an opportunity then for worship to take place, for prayer, certainly for salvation to come. So the Lord just ministering to the people. And isn't it gracious of the Lord to think of the people that much, to have a place for them to go to? Just always wonderful of the Lord to bring us to that place where we can know that there's a place for us to gather together. Because Hebrews tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And there's certainly strength in that. There's wholeness. There's a turning. We can kind of talk about things and hear about things and go through things and just have our hearts changed because of the people that are around us. Because iron sharpens iron. You can't have iron sharpening itself. It has to be sharpened by something else. And people need that too, because sometimes we can have thoughts and ideas that really aren't true or real. We see it by the number of religions that are in the world without relationship to God, but religions that have things to do. So we know that things are going on, things happen, but there's real opportunity for the Lord to minister one to another. So we certainly don't want to forsake those things that the Lord has for us. And even in the days that Israel was in, when Jesus was here, they would meet. There was still gatherings. And after he left, even though Roman rule was shutting down a lot of religion, the relationship with Christ, especially Christianity, you could go house to house. And what a wonderful thing that is. And really the way things look with America, if America doesn't turn, we'll be back to house churches, which is okay. Let's go, let's get them. Because when the Lord purifies, when the Lord calls, you get a real church. Without persecution, without hardships, there is no real church. There is no real relationship. If things get too comfortable for us, we kind of forget God. We kind of wander around instead of just getting serious about our faith and serious about who he is. And so it's important for us to stay in that place, and God is faithful to bring those hardships to us. And I know none of you sit there at night and go, thank you, Lord, for the hardships today. It was so wonderful. Thank you for letting me fall down the stairs, because it was really nice. Tim's not here, so Steve is it today. And we go through those things, but really those things are necessary for us just to have growth, because in the valleys is where we grow. We don't grow on the mountaintops so much. We grow in the valleys, because then our cries to the Lord are real. Our cries are true, and our cries are sincere. And so it's wonderful to have a place to go, and there's a wonderful that there's people from the tribe of Levi that would be spread around Israel so that there could be real direction in their relationship with the Lord. And it says that they shall eat of the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. So they're going to be provided for by the things that are brought to the temple. And he says, therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. And really, you could sit there and, well, that isn't fair, Lord. But what's a better place, to be ministering to the Lord or to be ministering to people? And we know the answer, ministering to the Lord. That's why it's important for all of us, especially in these days, that we don't minister to the church. We minister to God. We've got to have our heart in that place where our ministry starts with our service to God, and then it spreads out from there. Please don't let your ministry be when you come here and you teach Sunday school, or you usher, or you pass out communion, or whatever you do. Don't let that be your relationship with the Lord. Let your relationship with the Lord be you and Him, and then this would just be an outreach from that relationship. It's necessary and it's real. So he said, the Lord is going to be their inheritance, as he said unto them. And he said it a number of times, and we're going to see it a number of times here. That inheritance means the heritage or their possession. The things that they possess are going to be the things of the Lord. because America looks at possessions and go, well, I've got a 12-bedroom house, even though there's one of us, and I got 5 bathrooms in case I'm in a place where I need to go quickly. I got one all over. I've got a 5-car garage. I got 10 cars, even though I'm only one person and can only drive. And they go through their list of possessions, and God says, what about me? He should be our first possession. We want to possess Him. He possesses us. He owns us. He paid the price for us. Mm-hmm. We're His bond slaves. He's our master. He's our Lord. And so not only do we want Him to possess us, but we want to possess Him. We want to grab a hold of Him and just not let go. So have your arms open and ready just to grab a hold of who the Lord is in your day. Let Him be your possession. And this shall be a priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep. And they shall give unto the priest the shoulder, the 2 cheeks, and the maws. And you think, well, maws has got to be good, right? It's the stomach. I don't know about you. I'll take the shoulder. The stomach somebody else could have, because it just, I don't know, it just doesn't sound good to me. But evidently good for them and good for their diet, good for what they needed to have and fruitful for them. So they have part of the offerings that would come in would be for them. They could take part of that offering. They could be included in the offering that would come. And there's really no difference today. Even now in the churches, you know, there's offerings given, and we don't bring in cows and sheep anymore. If we did, we'd have to take up the carpet. Now we bring offerings of money. And the pastors take part of that. It's the same thing that's going on. The ones that are teaching, the ones that are doing, are the ones that are blessed by the Lord in the place that they're in. He's raised up people to do just that. And so it didn't stop the people from bringing those things. Well, why should they get it when I'm the one that raised it? I'm the one that did it. I'm the one that brought it. But they're doing a whole different job. Nobody's different. It's not that anybody's higher than anybody else. We're all on the same level. It's just different places of service, in different ways of service. And he says, then in verse 4, the first fruit also of your corn, of your wine and your oil. Remember the bread, the wine, the oil, just speaking of the Trinity, the work of the Spirit in our lives, the work of the Father, the work of Jesus, and just bringing us to that place of having joy in Him and being fed by Him, having His Holy Spirit upon us. And the first of the fleece of thy sheep you shall give him. So even fleece for clothing, fleece for other articles, blankets and all that stuff, that they would bring in, that they would give him. So what the Lord is doing for them is providing for them, even though they have not taken part in raising those things, raising the animals or doing anything like that. The Lord brings that to them and just brings it in a place. And isn't it wonderful that the Lord would do that for His people so that they could be taught, as well as giving them opportunity to be farmers, to be sheep herders, to be whatever, to bring those things in, to have an opportunity to give. And it's important for us to be givers. We've read before that He wants us to be hilarious givers. we want to give to the Lord. And we should really ask him, how do you want me to give to you? Certainly you tithe to the church. Certainly you as the Lord lays people on your hearts, you minister in that way to them sometimes. But what a blessing it is that God even gives us an opportunity to serve him in that way. Because really what you're doing is you're praising the Lord by giving. You're praising the Lord by offering. Even though others are going to be partakers of it, you're the one that gives. And we go, well, what if we're in that place where we don't agree with everything that's going on? If you're giving with the right heart, God's going to take care of the end result. That's what we have to be careful about. We want to be wise stewards, but at the same time, we want to be stewards. We can't not give just because we think something's going wrong. We give with a right heart, and God takes care of the rest. And so, because remember, we go through and you hit Samuel and you got Eli ministering there, and his two sons are awful. I mean, they are just downright terrible. Eli wasn't great himself, but the people came and gave. And even, what's her name? Hannah came and gave her son, Samuel, as an offering to the Lord in a bad place. But she gave it with the right heart, and the Lord blessed it. Even though there was rotten things going on in Denmark, the Lord blessed what Samuel was doing and what Hannah did. In fact,
and she was praying too.
And she was praying. And she had other offspring then. But she gave him to the Lord and just allowed the Lord to do what he was going to do, and he took care of the rest. Remember, he wiped out the whole tribe of Eli. When he finished up Abiathar, when David came through and Solomon killed him, even though he was a priest, he had him slain because he was of the tribe of Eli. He came from Eli's lineage, and the Lord said, I'm going to wipe it out completely because they're bad. And he did. But it was on the Lord's time, in the Lord's terms, rather than our terms. We can't take justice into our own hands. He said, I'm going to have vengeance. It's mine, saith the Lord. And so we trust him for it. How I got there, I have no idea. But here we go. So verse 5 then. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all your tribes to stand and to minister in the name of the Lord. It wasn't that Levi was any better. Because as you go through Genesis 49, you see that Levi was not one of the nicest guys in the world. He and his brother conspired to kill people. And you go, let's see, he's going to be a priest? But look at your background. Where did you come from? We were enemies of God, and yet God put us in his service. You go, anybody could say the same thing about us. And it would be true, and we go, guilty, but I'm forgiven. And it's God's grace, and it's God's leading. So God has chosen him to do this work, to stand and minister in the name of the Lord. Notice he's not going to stand and minister in his own name or in somebody else's name. It's not Buddha's name. It's not Muhammad's name. It's not a Hindu name. It's the Lord's name. That's the name we raise above every other name. In the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. And if a Levite come from any of thy gates, out of all of Israel where he sojourned, and come with all the desire in his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord. There it is again. In the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren and the Levites do, which stand there before the Lord. So no matter where he sends them, he's going to use them for his glory, because they're going to be ministering in his name. And they shall have like portions to eat besides that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. So the things that he has that he sells, he's still going to get that inheritance. He's still going to get that portion that would come for him to have. And when you are come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Notice it says when. It doesn't say if. It says when they're coming into the land. And whenever I see this, I always think we're going to the promised land one day. And it's not an if, it's a when. For believers in who Jesus is, believers that speak the name of Jesus, that have that relationship with Christ, that have repented and turned from their ways, we are going to the promised land. No ifs, ands, or buts. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, there's no way you're going to the land. There's no way you enter in. You can't cross over the Jordan. You stand where you are, and you're judged for who you are, not for who he is, because he's come for believers. So when you are come into the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, it's the same with us. He gives us the promised land. Thank you, Lord, because we haven't earned it. We haven't deserved it. We're not getting there because we're good looking. We're getting there because God is faithful and because God's paid the price for us. You shall not learn or do after the abominations of the nations. Don't learn them. Don't study them. Learn what's true. I don't know about you, but I have enough trouble learning this. I don't need to read about Buddhism to find out what Buddhism's about. I don't have enough time to read about Hinduism and all the offshoots of that. There's thousands of religions out there, and I don't have time to study all those because I can't even do what's here. It's taken me all my time just to do this. Why would I want to learn that? Just so I have knowledge? It isn't going to do me any good. This is what does me good. Walking with him and being with him. He says, don't learn of those things. And yet we hear people all the time, don't we? And we've probably even said it. Well, I need to know those things so that I can pray better. No, you don't. You're just inquisitive and you want to know what they're doing. We need to know him. And tell you what, we can make it real. If you know him perfectly, then go and learn about all the others. And when you get to be perfect, let me know. And you can teach me, because I need help. He says, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. And these are the things that they're going to learn about. How to put people in the fire and kill the babies. This was abortion 101 before America got a hold of it. Before Roe versus Wade came. They would heat up these idols until they were red hot. Then they would put the babies in. And while they were doing it, they would sing loudly so they wouldn't hear the screams. Isn't that awful? And yet, what do we do now? We take drugs and we drink so that we can't hear the cries, so that we can't hear the memories, so that we can't think, what have I done? And we do all the things. We numb ourselves just like they numb themselves. It was a practice that was in the lands. It was a practice that even many so-called religious nations do. America calls itself a religious nation. We are far from a religious nation. We've got 65 million babies whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're in heaven now. Praise the Lord, there's going to be a bunch of babies in heaven. We know there's at least 65 million people there because the babies are there. So we're thankful, but don't learn. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Don't let those things be found among you. And yet, how many churches want to practice yoga, Eastern meditation? We want to practice seances in the church. And there's churches that do it, that allow those things to go on. Be careful where you go. Be careful where you go, because they're in the denominational churches. They may not practice them on Sunday mornings, but they're there on Friday nights or other nights when they're gathering. Be careful where you go, and be careful what you're listening to. Or a charmer. We all know about charmers. Or a consulter with familiar spirits. Or a wizard. Or a necromancer, one that deals with those that are dead. Speaks to the ones that are dead. And that seems to be such a draw now. That it's ghosts. Mainstream, almost.
Are there ghosts?
Are there ghosts? Yeah, they're demons. Well, there's the Holy Ghost. All the others are fake ghosts.
They make themselves look like people's relatives.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Remember the witch at Endor? She brought up Samuel for Saul to talk to. That's a scary thing.
Ugh. There wasn't really Samuel, though, right?
Yeah, it was.
It was. It says it was. But I know a lot of people don't believe it was, but the Bible says it was Samuel, and he talked with him and said, "You're a dead man." Hey, Chuck. So for all that do those things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before you. God is going to drive them out. You want to go and tell them? Dan's not here. Okay.
Time.
You can sit here and then.
Yeah. Where do you
go? Oh. So, but doesn't it say Jesus talks about ghosts? Don't. Yeah. Isn't there a best to learn when he's talking about ghosts? Yeah, so I knew exactly where it was. Right.
Well, what do you mean? What do you say?
Well, I mean, are they different from. Are there different entities that are living on us? Demons, ghosts.
Yeah.
I mean, but
they call them ghosts, but they're demons. They're not really demons.
Yeah, but are they different from demons, or are they just another type of demonic being?
They're just another demons, right? Demonic beings can kind of come in and be
much
because they got their power. Satan has a lot of power. He's in charge of your sins.
All right, mid study coffee break. Okay, so let's verse 12 says then that for all those that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and we don't want to be an abomination to God. So you know what to stay away from. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before you. And certainly that can be us too, that Israel was driven out of the land because of the idolatry that they had. Remember, they went to Babylon for those 70 years because they were practicing idolatry and not keeping the laws that God put before them. And God is going to minister in those ways at times. Certainly judgment is going to come upon nations for their idolatry, for their abominations. And we want to be careful in our own lives personally, not only church-wise, but individually-wise. What are we doing with these things? You know, are we watching those shows? Are we listening to those things? Or are we keeping ourselves pure and away from those things? He says, he's going to drive them out from before thee. So he says, you shall be perfect. And we know we can't, but the word really means, it's one of those translations of the words. They have so many translations for their words. And this one means more sincere or upright. It's not that they're perfect, because there's none perfect, just Jesus. But we're going to be mature. We're going to be upright in our walk with him. We want to be upright in our walk with him. And the more we put ourselves before him, the more we're going to be upright. The more you take yourself out of the love of God and into places that aren't right, the more you're going to think of other things rather than his things. And he says, for these nations which you shall possess, hearkened unto observers of times, they listened in diviners of times, but as for you, the Lord thy God has suffered thee not to do. Don't do those things that the nations do. They had an opportunity and they grabbed a hold of the wrong things and went the wrong direction. And he says, I don't want you to do that. He hasn't suffered us. In other words, it says that he hasn't given them over to do that. He hasn't given us that place to go in and listen to people, talk to dead people. He hasn't given us those hearts to put our babies in the fire. Isn't it amazing that Satan kills the little ones? We want to bring life to them. Isn't that amazing? The copycat always takes away what God wants to do. Keep your hearts pure and keep your hearts in that right place. And then he kind of switches gears here in chapter 18, and he comes to verse 15, and it says, "The Lord thy God," your God, notice it's that personal relationship, "the Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet." Notice it's a capital P if you've got a King James. I'm not sure what the other translations are, but "this prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren, like unto me, unto him shall you hearken." We read about this in the Gospel of John. I'll read it to you. John chapter 6, verse 14. It says this, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.'" The reference there is right back to Deuteronomy 18. Because Jesus is going to be what? A prophet, a priest, and a king. He's the only man who was all three. We had some that were prophets and priests, but not all three. We had some that were kings and prophets. David was a king and a prophet, but not a priest. Jesus came and he's going to be prophet, priest, and king. He's going to be everything that we need. That's why the one world government is just another copycat of what Jesus has, of who Jesus is, because the one world government, he's going to want to be worshipped as God. He's going to be king over everything. He wants to be ruler spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every way. He wants to be who God was, and God is prophet, priest, and king. And the Antichrist wants to take that place, and he can't, because he can't fulfill those shoes. He's not perfect. He's not right. And so in chapter 7, verse 40, it says this, "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet,'" in John chapter 7, verse 40. And it's the capital P, speaking of this quotation from Deuteronomy 18. "There's going to come a prophet," the Lord says. And notice, Jesus fulfills that prophecy that was given back in Deuteronomy.
What was that?
740 and 614. But hold your places here and turn to the book of Acts. Peter gets into it, and I love how he does it. In chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, let's take a quick peek here. Peter's giving his sermon. This is his second sermon. He and John just went up and they healed the lame man. And down in verse 12 of chapter 3, oh Lord, protect him. It says this, "And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, and he said, 'You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Because we healed a lame man,'" like it's no big deal. I don't know about you, but I think it's a big deal when a lame man gets healed. "You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Peter certainly giving the credit where credit's due. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob." Remember, he's speaking to mostly a Jewish crowd. So he's saying, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," which are the main three guys of Israel. And he's giving them, he's saying, think about this. Think about this. "The God that is the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son, Jesus, whom you delivered up." He wasn't gentle about this, was he? "You guys killed him, by the way. You delivered him up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied, second time he says that word denied, you denied the Holy One and the Just One, both in capital letters. He was holy and he's just, and he's the justifier. And you desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Whenever you go away from the things of the Lord, you will always gravitate to one who's a murderer and a liar. You will always gravitate to the things of Satan. He's the father of all lies. He's a murderer. He's a liar from the beginning. If you gravitate away from the true one, the true holy one, and the just one, and the justifier of us, you will always gravitate to somebody lesser because you have to go to a lower standard. There is no standard higher than Jesus. And in their case, they desired a murderer, one who murdered, one who deserved death and never tasted death, just like you and I. We deserve death, but we never had to taste it because of what Jesus did for us. But you denied the Holy One and the Just One and desired a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and through his name, faith in his name, this is how we come to salvation, faith in his name. You made this man strong, whom you see and know. This man who couldn't walk, this man who couldn't move, this man who was lame from his mother's womb, never had walked, all of a sudden got muscles, put bones together in the right places, got sinews together, got strengthened up, and he's leaping. He's not just walking, you know, and got a cane on each side and people helping him. He's jumping, and he never has walked. I don't know about you, but if I sit in the car too long, like yesterday when we went to Niagara Falls, after an hour and a half, I get out of the car, both my knees crack, and I'm just sitting there going, oh, hang on to the car before you fall down, dummy.
I've been there.
It's just amazing, and that's only an hour and a half. What if you never walked and he's 40 years old? And all of a sudden, every bone, every muscle is in place. There's only one that can do that, and it isn't Satan. It's Jesus. And Peter, presenting Jesus, said, Jesus did this. Can you imagine? These guys who hate Jesus, who gave him up to be killed, he's saying, he's the one that healed this guy. Wait a second, we put him to death. You missed, because he rose from the dead. How can he heal if he's dead? He can't. He's alive. Chuck Smith had a great devotional a couple of days ago in his devotion book, and he said, wanted dead and alive. Dead to self and alive to him. That's what we want to be. I want to be dead to self and alive to him. So in his name, through faith in his name, he's made this man strong, whom you see and you know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot not through ignorance you did it. I'm giving you credit that you might have done it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Jesus should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When those times come, be in that place where you can get refreshed by the Lord. We always give out the truth, but we always give out the truth with a hope. Because sometimes truth hurts. But if you give out truth in love, it always comes with a hope that these things can be remedied and put back in place. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall your God raise up to you of your own brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass, it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. that prophet. If you're not going to listen to that prophet, who was that prophet? It was the prophet that was spoken of back here in Deuteronomy. That prophet, his name is Jesus. That prophet, there's a singular name that goes with it. It's not a group of individuals. It's not a tribe. It's one person. We put our faith in Jesus Christ, one person. We don't put our faith in a group. We don't put our faith in the name of a church. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save. So back in Deuteronomy, and it's interesting, Peter even gives that out to the people of Israel. They know the scriptures. In fact, they know Deuteronomy, don't they? Because that's one of the first five books of the Bible. That's all they studied. So where did he go when he was ministering to them? To scriptures that they should have known. Jesus did that too. He quoted Deuteronomy more than any other book in the Old Testament. Interesting. Because they should have known it. And yet, just because they had it didn't mean that they knew it. And for me, it's such a convicting thing, because even though I have my Bible, I don't always know what's in it. I think I know what's in it, but I don't always know what's in it. Because sometimes he looks at me and goes, "What do you think that means to you?" "I have no clue, Lord." He goes, "Right. Let me show you." Because he speaks the truth to me, you don't know it, but he also gives hope. Let me show you. And that's what we should be doing. Lord, help me to give him truth, but help me to give him a hope with it. Like Joe the mulch man. "I walked away from the Lord. I don't need religion anymore." "Yes, you do. Let me show you." You need that relationship. I like that name, Joe the mulch man. Maybe we could put that somewhere. So back in Deuteronomy here, "The Lord your God will raise unto you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren like unto me. Unto him shall you listen." Listen. Unto him you're going to hearken. Who are you hearkening to? Just like Dorothy talked about a couple Saturdays ago. Who are you listening to? What are you listening to? Listen to the right things. Listen to the right way. "According to all that you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore.'" Remember, they were at Horeb and they said, "Moses, you go up, because we can't handle what God is saying, and we can't hear him because fire and lightnings and thunderings and everything else is going on, and we're scared to death. So you listen to him and then you tell us and we'll do everything that you say." That lasted about, 5 minutes. Just about as long as how we do. "Lord, I'll follow you anywhere you want me to go." "Okay, go here." "No, I can't do that." "And the Lord said unto me, 'They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren.'" He was going to raise him up, not only physically, but also spiritually. Huh? He was going to raise him up completely. "I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and he will put words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Remember, Jesus said, "I don't say anything that my Father hasn't given me." These are the words I'm speaking, what God has said. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words..." Notice there's free will. And I hate to tell you, but if you get a chance, you can go to harbingersdaily.net, and there's an article in there called Transhumanism. And the people in there are talking about this way. They've hacked into computers. Are on their way to hacking in to humans to take away their free will. Oh, because one of the leaders of those articles said that we're here to become gods, and all this is going to end when we become God. And yes, it is going to happen when you become God, because the real God is going to come and and you're done. But can you imagine? I mean, what's the World Economic Forum saying to you now? You're going to have nothing, and you're going to be happy about it. How happy are you really going to be? If I don't have Jesus, I'm not going to be real happy. Transhumanism, beyond being human. You will just be a robot. scary. But these are the times that we're in, but we've got an out, because he is the prophet that we listen to. He's going to raise up those things for us. So that prophet is going to be the one that you're going to listen to. And it shall come to pass, verse 19, that whosoever will not hearken my words, which he shall speak in my name, I'm going to require it of him. And that's what he's going to require of those that come to heaven. Did you listen to my son? No. Bye. Your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And certainly we know it, they're going to die physically, they're going to die spiritually, because they're speaking the wrong things, they're walking in the wrong ways, and they're going to die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? He says, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, then is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you don't have to be afraid of him. You don't have to listen to him. You don't have to pay attention. This is what it says in Mark chapter 13. If you want to go there, you don't have to hold your place, because that's the end of it. Mark chapter 13. This is about the end times, but it has to deal with these prophets, because we know what it says in Timothy about the last days. There's going to be scoffers, there's going to be all these things going on, and we know. But in chapter 13 of the Gospel of Mark, in verse 14, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation, so we know it's during the great tribulation period, we know he's speaking to the Jewish people, when you see it, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Get out of Dodge as quick as you can. Get on your horse and ride. And let him that is on the housetop not go down to the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. That's how important it is to get away from it. And if it's that important to get away from it then, why not get away from it now just as quickly as you would do then? He's telling the people of Israel, get out of there as quick as you can, because you're in great danger. Folks, if you're listening to the wrong voices, you're in great danger. And our hearts need to be in that place where we would just know the danger that we're in, that we could be freed from that danger, because he wants to bring us peace, he wants to bring us wholeness, and you can't do it if you're treading in the wrong places, if you're in the wrong fields. So let him that's on the housetop not go down, neither enter therein to take anything, and let him that's in the field not turn back again to take up his garment. But woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days. How hard is it going to be for them to run? My granddaughter, who was just pregnant, boy, she had a big baby. I can't picture her running out of Dodge. Wouldn't make it. And pray that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall affliction such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. The afflictions are going to come, and they're going to be greater than anything we've seen in the world thus far. There was an article, in the last two decades, there has been more major storms and damage from events, from physical things on the earth, than there has been all the other decades combined. Five times more in the last two decades than all the other ones before it. Just in the last two decades. That's 20 years. We were all alive 20 years ago when things were calmer. Yeah. Things have heated up just a wee bit. And if things keep going, it's going to be real hot, and this earth is going to melt and be no more. And we're going to be in heaven by then, though, so praise the Lord. So they won't be, it's going to be so bad. In verse 20, and except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, he did it for the elect's sake. For those that believed, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened the days. And then if a man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, a prophet, a false teacher, or lo, he is there, don't believe him as he warns the people. And shouldn't we have that now? Because we just had a few years ago, a guy by the name of Harold Camping, and I'm not sorry to say his name, he's a false prophet. Jesus is coming back, and you better get ready because he's coming. What was it, May 13th or whatever day it was? And then he had to change it because he miscalculated, but that day was wrong too. He was a false teacher. And what did Jesus say back in Deuteronomy? If it doesn't come to pass, you don't listen to him. You get away from him. But you know what? His church is still going. He's still on the radio. Give me a break. Evidently, they're not reading their Bibles, or at least not reading these passages. And Jesus says, don't believe him. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. If you think you're free from it just because you wear a cross or you carry a Bible, think again. We can be seduced by the wrong things if we're not careful, if we're not walking in truth. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Oh, folks, the cry is going out. We need so desperately to be in the love of God. Not only to be witnesses in the world, but to keep ourselves from danger. If you don't think you can get seduced, you already are. Because you're believing a lie. We can keep yourself. And how do you keep yourself? You walk with him. It's a simple thing, but it's a hard thing, isn't it? Lord, the world is such a distraction. I know. I never made it to be this way.
I don't think he's still on the radio.
I think he... Oh, he died?
Yeah.
When did he die?
2013.
Did... Camping?
Google it.
Wow. Never mind.
He
could still be on the radio, but... boy, I thought he still had a church going.
What about Ray Comfort?
Ray's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's pretty solid.
I like the way he meets people. Yeah, I like the way he uses technique.
Yep. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Take heed. He says, take heed to your hearts, where they are and what you're listening to, what you're paying attention to, because the Lord needs to have you walk with him closely and wants you to walk with him closely. God is so good, and he takes care of us. That prophet has come. He's been the prophet. He was a priest. He's our high priest now, as it tells us in Hebrews. And he's coming again to get us. And the call is going to go out soon. So are we walking with him? Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. And Lord, as we go from here, that you would just keep us, Lord, and just show us how to walk with you today. We've never been in a day like today, Lord, and we need your understanding for the day. We need you to help us. So help us, Father, to walk in truth, to walk in your ways, and to have your heart. We love you. We thank you. And Father, we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.